At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Boy, was last night fun. We got the matchup we wanted. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonatoni alongside JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel in for Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi will be back tomorrow, but especially JVT as an Angels fan. Oh. The way that the World Baseball Classic came to an end last night with Ohtani and Mike Trout, what was that like for you watching it?
Sad, because I was like, wow, I wish they had some like high leverage at bats every once in a while, these two guys. No, that was freaking awesome. Like when you see two of the best dudes in their respective sport going at it in a high leverage spot like that, it was incredible. And what Ohtani did, man, like to go up there and to set him up and go four straight 100-mile-an-hour fastballs and just tell the dude, like, I'm coming at you.
Yeah.
And then to set him up to the point where then he hits him with the slider to close it out. Like, man, Ohtani was awesome. You know, not to take away anything from Trout, but you could tell that the Japanese really wanted that thing. You know, we were talking off the air right before the show started. The country of Japan was into it. Nearly half of the households apparently watched that Korean game. Like, they were super into it. I thought it was a really cool moment yesterday.
Once all the ratings come out, it'll be interesting to see like what ultimately it was. But Ohtani had just such an incredible, I mean, classic in general. You were laying out the stats like sub 2 ERA, hitting yeah. 435.
It was incredible. The sub 2 ERA, like you said, the batting average around 435, 10 hits for the entire deal. And like to come in that moment and be like, okay, I'm going to come into the ninth and close this thing out for my country so I can win this thing. Like everything Ohtani did was absolutely incredible.
I was just sitting there. Like, he's really just slinging triple digits every right. single pitch here right now. And then he gets him with the wiffle ball pitch. And obviously, being Americans, we would have liked for him to hit the bomb, tie it up, and see what they could do and maybe have USA win it. But for Japan, that was like a World Series win type of celebration. It was really cool to see. And it does have to make you – I like what you said, though, as an Angels fan, a little bit sad that we're not going to get to see these two on a big, big stage.
Whoa.
Well, Ohtani's leaving after
okay,
this year.
Okay, hold on here. We're not going to see them on a big stage?
Together, the same team.
So you assume that they're not doing anything this year.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
So hit
come
me
on.
With it. The win total this year for your beloved Angels, 82.5.
I do this every year where I convince myself that they could go over. I would say that they made some really solid improvements Their depth is better, and I think their pitching staff is better than the masses would give them credit
for.
They're
a plus price to make the playoffs for a reason. So, is that something you're willing to buy in on?
I think part of that, too, is history, right? Like, this has been a team that has dealt with a lot of injuries in the last few years. They have been chronically disappointing over the last few years. I would say that if we're talking, I mean, I think you want a better split than that, minus 190, plus 155. But if you're talking about like plus 170 or something in that range for them to make the playoffs, I would say yes, that is something worth betting. I think this team is going to be a little bit better this year.
Do you already have tickets in on Ohtani for Cy Young?
Maybe. No, not yet. No, I would bet him to win MVP. I wonder something that you and I were talking about, right, where it's this stupid voter fatigue thing,
yeah,
which is really dumb, right? Because if you really think about the concept of voter fatigue, it's this guy's really good, but we're just tired of voting for him, so we're not going to do it anymore. And I think that's really foolish in the grand scheme of things. But if Ohtani's going to come out there, pitch the way he does, and then improve as a hitter, because I know that's been one of the things that he's talked about, I mean, come on. Like, this is a guy that could be the most valuable player in Major League Baseball.
Well, and the argument is always, like, we haven't seen this since Babe Ruth. Like, I don't know if you were around for Babe Ruth, but I wasn't. So I have never seen anything like this. And it's very entertaining, and it's really, really cool to see somebody that's really at the top of their craft and two things that are really hard for somebody to be able to do.
Right. And, like, when it comes to – and you can see, you know, the American League MVP odds, he's a favorite for a reason. My whole thing, because, like, one of the – the I don't know if you've noticed this, Stormy, but I kind of – don't really have patience for like mind-numbing topics and conversations. And so if you want to make the argument that Ohtani is not going to be or should not be MVP, I'll listen to any well-reasoned argument. But for the people who would just go, oh, he's batting 260, that's not good enough, and ignore completely the other side of the equation for him, those are the things that I don't really agree with. So like I just think at the end of the day, this guy, if he's healthy, he's going to be in contention for this award because he's going to be great. And if he improves himself as a hitter in terms of hitting at a little bit of a higher average while putting up the numbers as a pitcher that he has been, I find it really hard that any one of these guys at the top of those lists or anybody else who could be a dark horse contender once baseball starts, because it's a long year, that he's going to get knocked off the perch if he's going to play a full season.
Shohei Ohtani, plus 200, the favorite in the American League MVP odds. Mike Trout, you have two Angels in the top three of the odds board. Mike Trout, his number has got cut down a good bit here, too, from I believe 8 or 9 to 1 to now plus 650 after the World Baseball Classic. And just a shame again, no repeat for Team USA. They were 0-7 with runners in scoring position, so that's not ideal.
I was cheering for Japan.
Yeah, you had a ticket on Japan,
Ohtani's
so you're big
my guy.
No matter what.
Yeah, shout out to Adam Burke, who put me on Japan to win the World Baseball Classic and did a great job of writing everything up on the website. And speaking of baseball, by the way, all of those previews are up on the website, too, at VSiN.com, as is the Major League Baseball Betting Guide by Adam Burke. But no, I was cheering for Japan because, of course, financial reasons and because Ohtani's my guy.
Some reaction last night. Obviously, you're also our premier NBA analyst here at the network. Clippers all-star point guard. I mean, all-star guard. Paul George injured in the fourth quarter yesterday. He had to be helped off the court and then put on the cart out of there afterwards. The knee injury did not look great when it happened, just went up for a rebound and came up against that Thunder player awkwardly when he came down. As somebody like me, and I believe you're invested in the Clippers as well. I know you're a fan, but I have the Clippers 12-1 and I was pretty excited about the way that they have been playing lately. How devastating is this to their chance in the Western Conference?
I mean, you obviously don't like it, right? Like the whole concept of the Los Angeles Clippers and the reason why it has not worked is because these two guys, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, could not really stay on the court together. You know, you go back to a couple of years ago, Stormy, where they get past the Dallas Mavericks and they get past the Utah Jazz, but at the end of that Jazz series, they lose Kawhi Leonard and they still push the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference Finals. It's always been a team that has kind of shown the flashes, but health has really held them back. And here we are again right now, right? The fact that this was a team, I mean, you mentioned it, we were talking about it before the show started. They're playing well. They had won 5 straight games where both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were on the floor together. It looked like they were starting to figure some things out with their lineups. And then sure enough, this happens if Paul George goes down. We don't know how serious this is yet. A lot of people, if you remember, harken back to about 2 years ago, the Eastern Conference Finals, where Giannis hyperextended his knee against the Atlanta Hawks and came back relatively quickly. And maybe that's something that happens here. But you hope for the health of Paul George. But, I mean, this is a Clippers team that in a Western Conference that looks just wide open, where no team is showing any consistency. This was a team that looked like they could have been peaking at the right time heading into the playoffs. So, no, it's a really big bummer. But I will say this. I think, and this is not too, because, of course, Paul George is dealing with something terrible. So you never want to besmirch a dude after he's dealing with a really serious injury. Of the two, I think if there's a path for the Clippers to overcome one of those injuries, I think that it's if it's Paul George that goes down,
it's better that it was George than Kawhi.
Right, correct. Like, there's a higher probability that they can actually do something without Paul George than without Kawhi Leonard. Okay. You know, Kawhi Leonard over these last few games has been playing at an incredible pace. He's at a 50-40-90 pace over his last, I think, 20 games or so. He's been the straw that stirs the drink, if you will. And if you're talking about, like, these solo Kawhi Leonard lineups as we move forward with everything else that they have, there is a chance that they could still maybe do something here, but they want Paul George out there. I think there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, certainly. Won 5 of 6 games before the 1-point loss last night to the Thunder. We'll see how things play out. 9 more regular season games ahead for the Clippers as they sit 5th in the Western Conference. Also yesterday, Cam Newton, after not playing at all in the 2022 season, threw at Auburn's pro day yesterday, 30-plus passes for Newton. Posted on social media this week, ain't 32.
That was a real quote, huh?
Better than me. Yep.
I thought that was a BSAC Sports.
You didn't see the video?
No.
Yeah, he had a little video talking about, like, all these randoms getting jobs out here in the NFL. Ain't 32 better than me.
Look, I wouldn't say growing up, because Cam was like a quarterback at the, like, tail end of my high school career. I really enjoyed Cam Newton when he was at, like, the peak of his powers.
Yeah, who didn't?
And he's not at the peak of his powers. So, like, I don't know about 32 randoms getting a job above you. The last time we saw Cam Newton in action, it wasn't really great. So is there 64 randoms, to use the term, better than him, or MFers? Maybe not. So maybe he deserves a spot on the roster as a backup quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets himself back onto a roster, or at least for the preseason. But I would say this. Are you betting on a team that's starting Cam Newton at quarterback?
Absolutely not.
Right. They're probably in a pretty bad position.
To be fair to him, his brother Kalen, who was a wide receiver at Auburn, he asked Cam to come do this. Mm-hmm. And so they agreed it. They kind of, like, kept it under wraps. He went out and did it. And all reports that I saw were that it was, like, a pretty decent performance. He was more on target than not. But obviously the big flack on Cam at this point is, like, are you really going to be able to throw the ball? We don't know. Out of, by the way, the 46 qualifying quarterbacks who had thrown 500 passes since 2019, out of 46, Newton ranks 44th with a QBR of 25, last in touchdown interception ratio, and 41st in off-target percentage. So if that gives you any indication to how he has been lately, other than the 7-21 in his last 28 starts, that should do it for you. But the thing is, while yes, could this be an opportunity for him to be a backup somewhere, he doesn't want to be a backup anywhere. That's not Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to read the writing on the wall, though. So I would assume that somebody's telling him, like, look, if you're going to get back in here, it's going to be as a backup. There's, like, think about this realistically.
I just don't see him being cool with that.
Right. Well, because I like these conversations. He might not be cool with it, but he also doesn't have a choice, right? So it's either be cool with it and just get onto a roster, or don't play. Exactly. So when you look at, like, the last 3 years, to your point, too, 2 out of the last 3 years, a PFF passing grade of sub-53. Like, that's... it's not really going to get it done if you're Cam Newton, or trying to get, you know, past one of these other 32 MFers on the roster.
See, I was just saying bleep, but I like that you went all out on it. He turns 34 in May. Obviously, Cam Newton's dealt with a number of injuries, most notably to that shoulder. And while I believe, yes, he can still, like, scramble and do certain Cam Newton things, it's the getting the ball downfield that I'm not as confident in. So we'll see how things end up playing out. I feel like, just in general, though, if you're performing at a college pro day, that should be a sign that the writing is on the wall, period. We're going to step aside here. We did get some news on the Lamar Jackson situation. He doesn't have an agent, but there's a representative that is not in the NFLPA trying to wheel and deal with some teams. That got shut down pretty quickly. So we'll talk about that and a lot more when it comes to the Sweet 16, which begins tomorrow.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Also on the show today, in about a half an hour, Nick Alberga, host of Leafs Morning Take, as well as the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, will join us to break down the doubleheader on TNT tonight and just the landscape of the NHL playoffs. Maybe some good bets to make still available in the futures market, as well as Harry Gagnon in hour two, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former sportsbook supervisor, get on here, talk all things Sweet 16 and more. But continuing things in the NFL, JVT, we got some news. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio initially wrote that a representative for Lamar Jackson has told other teams in the NFL that Lamar is ready to move on from the Ravens and that he does not want a fully guaranteed contract the way that it has been portrayed in the media. But also, I'm pretty sure from what I heard from ESPN's Kimberly Martin this morning that, like, this representative, this non-certified NFLPA rep, is, like, a family friend of Lamar Jackson's mom. So no team is talking business with this person.
Yeah. I think you and I both mentioned this right around the time he got slapped with this non-exclusive tag, which was, like, this is the time to hire an agent, man. Right? Like, this is... You want if it's true that you don't want the fully guaranteed deal, and it already kind of looks like a mess on your end if you have non-approved members of your family reaching out and trying to do business on your behalf, at some point, I get that you want to keep as much as you possibly can, right? Because you know you don't want the pay the whatever percentage. But like, if you want to maximize everything you're going to get, an agent helps you out with that.
And just get like a short-term guy. Just get it for like this deal, you know, just somebody to come in, help you with the contract and move on.
Yeah, I would agree. So, and he's not putting himself in a position to really like make the most of this right now. So I'm going to be amazed if he doesn't, because I think we might look back at this and realize that it's a missed opportunity for him to not get an agent and potentially find somewhere. And especially if, right, because when we talked about, when I was on last and we talked about like the non-exclusive tag, and one of the things that we brought up was, people were throwing out collusion because all these NFL teams immediately were like, no, we don't want him. Like, really, the Commanders, you don't want him. The Atlanta Falcons, really, your offense is geared. Your offense would be so much better. Look how effective it was at times last year with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. You don't think Lamar Jackson could maximize that? And so if now all of a sudden it's, hey, I don't want a fully guaranteed deal, well, then get somebody to help you work it out. Get as much guaranteed money as you possibly can. And do it the right way as opposed to this, because maybe teams just don't want to deal with whoever you're sending out there in some of these meetings too.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, it's always just awkward in general that like your mom and your mom's friend is the one doing this. Like, don't you want to come across as more professional and really?
No, my mom did a great job on my contract.
She did? There you go. That's like, I mean, to be honest with you, my dad and my family lawyer helped me with mine. Okay. I need to get an agent. I'm
family
on the track.
Lawyer.
We're getting there. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have a family lawyer? You didn't have a younger brother that got in trouble growing up?
That was quite the statement. You didn't have a family lawyer?
You didn't have a family lawyer? I feel like everybody has a family lawyer.
Definitely not.
As I say, you clearly didn't have a sibling that got in some trouble growing up.
I mean, I did, and I was one of them, but like, yeah, no family lawyer.
That's great. Well, listen, on the Ravens side of things, like, you never would have thought a year ago that they would be in this situation. Like, I fully was under the impression that these two sides wanted to be together. They wanted to get something hammered out, and they're just not there. And because of that, like, the Ravens now are in a situation where they're being forced to make cuts. Calais Campbell, one of the biggest among those names, is a kind of a cap casualty right now. Mm-hmm. And they're just a team that can't really do anything else until they have this figured out.
Right. And that's the other part about this too. You would think the Ravens want to get this done as much, like, as quick as possible as well. So, I mean, I guess, like, we're also getting reports that, like, my team, the Colts, have not ruled out.
Right.
That
was I said this yesterday. That was the dumbest report I've ever read. The Colts have not ruled out, but they also haven't made any substantive efforts to discuss it, and maybe won't.
Right. I think that's more
BS. Is that news?
No, of course it's not. Like, at this time of year, we're so desperate for any little morsel of NFL something that, like, anything will come out and we'll talk about it, right? So, no, I would agree with, and especially, like, even looking at a team like the Colts, every indication has been that this is a team that has finally, like, realized, like, oh, maybe we're not just one piece away. So let's start. They haven't done really anything in free agency outside of signing one guy, traded away their best corner from last season. So this seems like a team, especially with the top four pick, that seems set on going the route of, we need to rebuild this thing as opposed to just retool a quarterback again. So I think there's teams that make sense. And I've been listening to smarter people than me say that maybe as free agency progresses and you get closer to the draft, that, like, for example, the Atlanta Falcons, we go back to them. You have to give up 2 first-round picks to get Lamar Jackson. Well, if you're Atlanta, and what pick do the Atlanta Falcons have? Remind me, 8, right? So if you're Atlanta, you don't want to give up 8. So what happens if, okay, we go to the NFL draft, let's use our 8th overall pick, and now we'll trade for Lamar Jackson the next 2 years, the next 2 and the first-round picks. Because then all of a sudden it goes from an 8th and whatever next year is going to be to, oh, we used our 8th-round pick and we get Lamar Jackson. Now those are probably going to be like in the 20s, you would assume, because we're going to be a little bit better. So maybe that's what's happening. Maybe some of these teams are waiting for the draft to go because they have really good first-round picks and they don't want to ship those off, and they'll trade away the later rounds.
Well, which is, like, I mean, a big question mark in the Aaron Rodgers situation, right, is how much of this is going to how much is contingent on that 13th overall pick that the Jets have? Is that a sticking point in that deal? We don't know. Speaking of teams
or
that are
Aaron Rodgers just kind of being an
entirely possible
D-bag,
in terms of the, like, teams that are building up and trying to rebuild, the Panthers are certainly one of those teams as well, and they do have that top overall pick. We're trying to figure out who it's going to be. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? C.J. Stroud's pro day coming up today. Apparently 11 representatives from the Carolina Panthers will be at his pro day, but I really like a point you made in the break, so make sure you share that with the people.
Oh, they took C.J. Stroud to dinner from one report I had, so pretty good. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Those same scouts also, by the way, are going to be at Alabama's pro day.
That's what I needed to hear.
I just, like, I saw a lot of, like, the C.J. Stroud stuff, and I'm reading the article, and, like, just buried in there is that little detail, like, oh, by the way, all of them are credentialed to go to the Alabama pro day, and they're going to be there too. It's like, of course they are.
Like, 11 Panthers scouts, and then you just see C.J. Stroud number grow higher and higher to be the top.
Can I also make the point? So I think a lot of people would say, like, oh, it's a really good sign. I would argue, if you were settled on C.J. Stroud to be your first pick of the NFL draft that you just traded for, would you need 11 scouts to go and check him out? Just saying, if you were already settled on the guy.
So this is the thing that really confuses me about Carolina trading up for that top overall pick, is if you're giving all of this up, don't you know? Shouldn't you know who your guy is?
I don't think so.
No?
Why wouldn't you want to trade up for the certainty of knowing you'll get your guy whenever you decide who it is? Isn't that worth something?
Yes.
Like, I have, like, 4 guys, you know, that I might want, right? I want to make sure I get my guy, though. So let's trade up to go and get him. Let's go. Let's make sure that when we decide whoever our guy is going to be, that we're going to get him. Like, look at a team like the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to make a guess that the Indianapolis Colts, let's say, you know, whatever it is, that their first quarterback is not the 3rd best quarterback, because that's what it looks like, right? At this point, there's going to be 2 teams that take a quarterback ahead of them. It's going to be the Panthers. It's going to be the Texans. Are the odds that the Colts, whoever they like, their number one guy, is really going to be the 3rd best quarterback by everybody else's standards? No. So, like, what you do if you're Carolina is, let's make sure we get our guy. We don't know who it is yet, but we guarantee that we're going to get him with this first pick.
Well, and I guarantee you that nobody at least from the outside looking in, knows what it is. All of the mock drafts I've seen, like Mel Kiper had CJ Stroud going number one overall yesterday, then followed up by Daniel Jeremiah, who's a voice that I really trust in this space, who has Bryce Young going number one overall. So, like, not even the insiders and guys who do this day-to-day for a living have any insight.
And yet, the betting market was like, that minus 350.
Got to be CJ Stroud. And that makes, because Frank Reich likes him and he's got the body type that he likes.
Don't forget Josh McCown in the YouTube video where he drooled over CJ Stroud's best game as a college player, right? Like, of course he's going to look really good there. So, no, I think that ultimately, like, swinging this back to the NFL draft stuff, and we have seen it, right? The number one overall pick odds got the minus 350 for CJ Stroud. And that was one of the things where I was kind of just like banging my hand on the table. Like, it should not be that high.
Yeah.
There is no concrete evidence that it's CJ Stroud. And sure enough, what's happening, it's now down to minus 185. And that's why I would also stress for anybody who's watching it or listening, we sometimes view these odds moves as predictive when it comes to things like this. And they're not. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud got up to minus 350 and you have people saying somebody must know something. Okay, now they're down to minus 185. What does that mean? Does somebody know something again? It doesn't.
Who had Walker at this point last year?
Correct.
You know, like, think about all the names that we went through for who's going to go top overall last year.
How many favorites
Walker,
there were?
Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson. Like, keep going down the list. That changed, like, on a very regular basis up until days before the draft. Mm-hmm. So, nobody knows at this point. I still stand by the fact that I'm surprised that the Panthers didn't have at least a very, very strong opinion on who they would want if they're going to trade up for that. But it'll be interesting to see who it plays out. Michael Lombardi has been saying for the last couple weeks that he's 60-40, thinking that it's going to be Bryce Young. And with the reports that, you know, Frank Reich is more on the CJ Stroud side, but it looks like the owner, David Tepper, is more infatuated with the Bryce Young of it all and who ultimately is going to get final say in that. We'll have to wait and see, I guess, how it all plays out come late April. We're going to step aside when we come back, get into a little hoops action. We've got plenty of Sweet 16 to talk throughout the show and a 10-game slate in the National Basketball Association.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now. Got futures, team previews, best bets, and more. Steve Mackinnon bringing you power ratings on every single team. Plus, our guy Adam Burke breaks down how the new Major League Baseball rules can impact bettors. Whether you bet baseball every day or you're just looking for some valuable futures bets, and our betting guide has you covered. Sign up today. Get full access to VSiN for 30 days. Just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're rolling along here on the Lombardi Line and talking a little bit of hoops. And I was going to lead off with NBA, but I know you and I are both avid slam ball aficionados, and the league is coming back for a 6-week season right here in Viva Las Vegas, baby.
So Sean King, when I was on with them, let me know about this, and I had no idea that it was coming back. Stormy, I would say the news yesterday that Slam Ball was coming back, the birth of my children, and then my wedding day.
And your marriage.
Those are the three in order, the happiest moments I've been in my life. I can't wait. It is so great. For anybody who hasn't really seen it, go back, like you said. When I was like, what was I like? We were probably like 12-ish. I'm a little older than you. Spike TV, watching Slam Ball. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Oh, yes. And it's here in Las Vegas. I can't wait. So.
And I don't know if you know this, but like, I basically, as a reporter, should be on the cover of like obscure sports quarterly with some of the strange events that I have worked, whether it be like spike ball or cornhole
or some of those really intense Mountain West conference track meets,
something like that. Yeah. I got asked to do axe throwing at one point. Ooh. But I had to turn that down, unfortunately. I was booked.
Yeah.
But I would love to be a reporter for Slam Ball. So anybody out there, I don't know who's going to have the broadcast rights, or if I know they're doing a docuseries as well. But anybody out there, I'm just shooting my shot.
Were you booked for like High Lie already or something like that?
I had college football, actually. Oh, okay. So that was a legitimate sport.
I would have loved it if you turned down an obscure sport for like another obscure sport. Like, sorry, Cornhole actually booked me already. I'm out.
If only. But Slam Ball's sick. Like, even just looking back at some of the highlights, dude, we were talking about, they were posted. It's so much fun.
I can't. And I forgot that they could actually, like, check each other, too.
Yeah.
So, like, you remember all the highlights at the rim, like the blocks and the dunks and everything like that. Then you forget that dudes can just come up and just straight check guys. Oh, it's going to be so much
fun. If you don't know what it is, look it up. It's trampoline basketball, and it's fantastic every second of it. We do have some important games in the NBA, though, coming up. 10 games on tap tonight. Ja Morant spoke publicly for the first time yesterday since his 8-game suspension. He served that suspension at like a counseling facility in Florida, said that he is, you know, it's the process is ongoing.
Everything's fixed.
But he's working on ways to manage and cope with his stress better. So hopefully that 2 weeks, you know, has been enough for him to learn those things and, you know, make better choices in the future. The Grizzlies are taking on the Rockets tonight, and he's expected to play.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this. It was a really short write-up. Like, look, Ja Morant's going to come back. Dylan Brooks is not there. So we've seen the market really bet this thing over, and that's probably the move. It opened 226 on the overnight. We're up to 231.5, as you see on the screen if you're watching. Those moves make sense. The Rockets, you know, taking 13.5 and getting that down to 12.5 makes some sense, too. The Rockets have been playing some pretty good basketball from a cover standpoint. Over the last 12, I think they're about 6-6, 7-5 against the spread. So covering numbers, it would make some sense in terms of both of these moves. I would say that we don't know exactly. I haven't seen anything in terms of a minutes restriction, but you don't know how effective mm-hmm. Ja Morant's going to be after missing 9 games. So I would very much maybe push back on the fact that if you're going to, like, bet Ja Morant overs or something like that, maybe that's not going to work out for you. But the moves that this market has shown already, I would say, are absolutely accurate. And I think at this point right now, you're waiting in-game to see if you can find a better angle, whether it's a cheaper number on Memphis or a lower number to bet over the total if it gets off to a slow start.
And Grizz, give them some credit. They've been good without Ja lately. I know they started slow, like earlier this season when they didn't have him, they were like 3-7, but 6 of the last 7 they've won without him, including wins over the Warriors and Mavericks back-to-back games coming into tonight. After missing 51 straight games with a grade 3 calf strain, your guy Carl Anthony Towns back in action too.
Why is he my guy? Where did this come from?
I don't know. It's just news, and you're the NBA guy, so he must be your guy since you follow the league so closely.
Well, I do have a 75-1 ticket on Carl Anthony.
See, so he is your guy.
You think I'm going to be able to cash out on that one?
No.
No. Look, this is interesting for multiple reasons, but the most fascinating part is when Carl Anthony Towns was out there. Like, that, this just wasn't working, right? Like, the Timberwolves actually weren't really that good. The Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns dynamic wasn't really fitting. And so now you're in the stretch of the season where you got about 10 games left, and now you got to force this back into action and see if it's going to really work for you. I am going to be amazed to see what this team kind of looks like, because their identity had kind of shifted to, all right, we're not going to be a good offensive team, but we're going to be a top 10 defensive team and just kind of grind away some of these games. And that's been the way that they have looked. I just wonder what this now looks like when you're forcing Carl Anthony Towns back into the fold with Rudy Gobert in a duo that wasn't really working out so much when they were on the court. And give you an example, with Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert on the floor together, 107.2 offensive rating is really bad. It's a really inefficient mark. So I'm just really curious what this means for them in the big picture, because this was not something that worked for them, and now you got to try to make it work with about 10 games left and with Anthony Edwards ailing with the ankle injury that he suffered the other day.
And trying to battle for playoff position. Yep. All these games are so critical right now. The ESPN national doubleheader tonight, Warriors, Mavericks, and Suns, Lakers. So important games in the Western Conference. Golden State on the road, we know, has been bad, 8-29 this season, but they are fresh off a win and cover as an 11-point favorite at Houston, which snapped an 11-game road losing streak. Does that continue tonight against the Mavericks?
So this is a pretty interesting thing, and this has happened with the last couple of Mavericks games, Stormy, that I'm going to double-check the numbers to see if we're still here, because if you look at where the overnight was to where we are at now, so the overnight number, for those who don't know, on this matchup, it opened Golden State -1.5 with a total of 233.5. So we're up to 2.5 in favor of the Golden State Warriors, and the total is up a point to 234.5. Those two moves don't really jive, right? Because Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are both questionable to play. So a move toward the Warriors would make you think, well, maybe at least one of those guys isn't playing, right? Or the market thinks that. But if one of those guys isn't playing, or both of them isn't playing, why is the total going up?
Right.
Because the total shouldn't go up. The total should go down. So we've seen this now a couple of games with the Dallas Mavericks where the market's kind of moved in opposite directions that don't really make a lot of sense because we don't really know who's coming. Is it Kyrie Irving? Is it Luka Doncic? So I'm really curious to see what ultimately happens, because there's a bet to be made here, right? If Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are going to play, you're taking a plus price on the money line with the Dallas Mavericks because they will close as favorites. And if they're not going to play, you're going to bet under 234.5 because that thing is going to come back down when they're not announced. So we've kind of seen this now, and it's just a waiting game as to what the news is going to be. Luka Doncic, by all accounts, probably shouldn't come back for a couple more games, so we'll see if that's actually going to be the case. And Kyrie Irving did, as he told the media, not only was the pain a lot worse in his foot than they initially thought, But he exacerbated that injury just the other night when they played Memphis, and they only scored 9 points in the first 10.5 minutes of that fourth quarter. So this is 100%. You're just monitoring this all day to see any bit of information on those two guys, because that will tell you where you want to go. But these moves initially, they just didn't really make too much sense.
And it's tough to gauge, too, with some of these injuries, because like Luka, for example, last game was upgraded to questionable. Yep. You get the feeling that he's going to play, and then he ends up not.
And that's why these shoot-arounds are important.
Yep.
Because you're right, he got upgraded to questionable, went to shoot-around, and then like immediately after shoot-around, they're like, ah, yeah, no.
Nope.
And that's not really a good sign for a dude who's trying to make his way back from a pain tolerance deal.
Important game for the Lakers tonight, hosting the Suns. Suns have dropped four of their last five. Lakers obviously need a win to get back in that play-in position. Do you think they can get it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a potential, because the Suns have not really been playing that well since they've lost Kevin Durant, which is kind of surprising. I thought they would be a little bit of a better team, especially because they'd been together before Kevin Durant got there. That hasn't really been the case. The thing I wrote about today in the article was a little bit more from a player prop standpoint. DeAndre Ayton's not going to play tonight. So your starting front court, or your front court rotation for the Phoenix Suns, is a mix of Bismack Biyombo and Jock Landale. That's going to be a duo that Anthony Davis should be able to beat up relatively well. Davis, since LeBron's gone down, 26.2 points, 13 rebounds per game on 54.2% shooting, and his player prop's a little bit higher than that number at 43.5. I would expect a pretty big game for Anthony Davis. From a side or total standpoint, it didn't have a really big feel, but I think it's going to be interesting to look at where the market moves on his props, because especially with the points rebounds, this should be a matchup that he has a lot of success in.
Okay. Any other game that you want to mention?
So I took a little bit of a chance. So Knicks and Heat, I thought this was an interesting thing. So if you look at the first two matchups between Miami and New York, right, they've only played twice. The totals for those games were 216 and 215.5. The second game went over by 26.5 points. It was a crazy shooting night for both teams. They combined to shoot 44% from three. They both had an offensive rating of 126 or higher, so it sailed over the total. However, you get to this game today. This game opens up 221, Stormy, and is now up to 224.5. So think about that. 224.5 today, where the first two matchups were 215.5 and 216. It's a really big adjustment for two teams that are in the bottom five in terms of pace, and bottom five in terms of shooting. So if you're making this adjustment based on a statistical anomaly, essentially, the last time they met up, and you're getting about nearly, eight, nine points adjusted from the last time these two teams met, I went under 223.5 because I thought the market was getting a little too high. I actually ticked up one more point to 224.5. So obviously somebody who bet under 223.5 think 224.5 is playable, but it's a really big adjustment from what we saw in the first two games.
JVT's full article available on the homepage right now at VSiN.com, and all of his written work at VSiN.com/JVT for the best bets in the NBA. Also, check out the Hardwood Handicappers pod, downloadable wherever you get your podcast.
New episode today.
Yes. Drop it low. We're going to get into a little NHL when we come back. Nick Alberga, host of Leafs Morning Take and on the Nation Network, is going to join us coming up next.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM customers, listen up. If you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account. Click the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register to a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, you'll both get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We are live in downtown Las Vegas as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. Time to talk a little stick and puck as we welcome in Nick Alberga, host of Leafs Morning Take on the Nation Network, co-host of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. Nick, what's going on, my guy? How are you?
Not too much, guys. Looking forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're about 10 to 12 games away now. It's a dead time in the NHL betting world, I won't lie.
So that's a good follow-up to, like,
all right, see you later, dude.
Yeah, bye. No, like, what is your approach to betting this time of year as teams are gearing up for the playoffs? What do you do?
Yeah, like, it's funny you ask me that because I was talking to a buddy who's, like, a pretty prolific name in NHL betting, and he was having sort of the same misfortunes, I guess you want to call them, as me, where it's, like, it seems like it's night and day where a team is desperate for 2 points this time of year, and then you have teams like Arizona and Chicago and Montreal, for example, last night beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's just so much more difficult to handicap, in my opinion, this time of year. I've never had success in the last, you know, 15, 20 games following the trade deadline. I just don't think if you're looking for value, now's the time not to find that value if you're looking at the favorites at least. Because as I mentioned, a lot of the dogs are winning, but it's just so difficult to pinpoint when that's going to happen, unfortunately. So
I'm going to steal something that you guys were actually just talking about off the air, and I'll take all the credit for it. But you guys mentioned, was it Colorado that you guys were both on today? Yep. And is part of the reason, and you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, part of the reason was that the market's overreacting to Pittsburgh needing to win. Is that something that is generally you see? Because, like, I'm a guy that, like, in the final week of the NFL regular season, I'll actually bet against all these teams that have to win because the market really overaccounts for that, and you actually get value on the other side.
Well, that's a really good point. That's exactly why I stay away from the market for the most part in general the last month or so, because there's just no value in the teams I actually think are going to win, and I just don't have the cojones, if you will, to bet on the teams who are unlikely to win. Mm-hmm. So I think to your point, yeah, like that's exactly what I'm saying, is that I think the market is overreacting to Pittsburgh direly needing 2 points tonight. I believe their next two games against Colorado, then the Dallas Stars, they lose to the Ottawa Senators and like their 16th string netminder and Dylan Ferguson, former Vegas Golden Knight, as Stormy would know, the other night. It's not looking good for Pittsburgh. On top of that, I really, really like the way Colorado's playing right now. Cale Makar has been a beast, Nathan MacKinnon as well. I know they're battered and bruised, but they're definitively the better team. And most importantly, they're on home ice for this game where they're pretty lights out. So famous last words, maybe, but I like Colorado tonight against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I always get worried when we're on the same side. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's good juju. Minus 154 on the money line. I bet that here at Circa. That's game one of the National TNT doubleheader tonight. The other game, the Coyotes, big underdog at the Oilers tonight. Yeah. High total as well at 7. Arizona on the second half of a back-to-back north of the border after losing 2-1 to the Jets last night. Anything worth even looking at tonight in this one?
If you want to take a peek, I did this last night. I threw some money on the Yotes money line, or the puck line, excuse me, so to keep that game close, and they did. They lost 2-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. I do think this is a bit of a trap game. It has been a trap game for the majority of the season for teams when playing Arizona. They're much better than we thought they were going to be, and if you've been consistently betting on Arizona throughout the season, you've won substantial money, so kudos to you. So that's probably where I would look if I were to bet on this game, because all the stars are aligning for Edmonton to beat this team. But do not sleep on Arizona. I think the stat is they haven't lost like a game in regulation in almost 10 games now. Like, it's pretty incredible what they're putting together. So I think Arizona is going to keep it close despite being in the back-to-back here.
So, Nick, one of the things that I have seen, at least in my timeline, as somebody who doesn't get to watch a lot of NHL, but the T word has been thrown around for some of these bad teams, tanking. So is that, first, a two-part question. First, is that legitimate? Are people actually, are teams actually doing this? And is it that they're actively tanking, or is it, again, because I'll tie this back to the NBA for me, is it just that the teams are bad and the market's really over-accounting for the fact that there's a really good prospect at the top of this draft? Because the market is continuously coming in against teams like Houston or San Antonio. These teams are actually winning games and covering spreads in the NBA, and people are getting their heads caved in because they're overvaluing the sense of tanking. Is this something that's actually happening?
That's exactly it. Like, to put it in NHL terms, like, Connor Bedard is our version of Victor Wembanyama, who's going to go first overall, as we know, in the NBA, and putting forth a spectacular campaign and getting set for the draft. Bedard's doing the very, very same thing here in Canada. He is remarkable. And so teams want to put themselves in a position to get the first overall pick. Having said that, it's a bit different than it is in the NBA. Like, your odds of getting the guy, even if you finish last, I think are around 25%. I'm no mathematician, but I still am in favor of the 75% that are not getting him. So I think that deters teams from tanking. I know the words used loosely in the NHL world. I just don't see it. Everything I just mentioned, like, even the Montreal Canadiens, their roster is horrendous on paper, and they continue to win and win and win. You look at Arizona all season long, they've had pretty much an AHL roster, and they've won some incredible games against teams like Colorado and Toronto. So what I'm telling you, it's much more predictable in the NHL. I think it's more so because there's more players as opposed to the NBA, where you know what you're going to get from a rotation, as opposed to the NHL when they're throwing 20, 21 guys out there. It's a bit more unpredictable, and you need more of a team atmosphere to probably win said game. So it's just so much more difficult to handicap. It's quite clear teams before the season put themselves in position to potentially land the first overall pick in Connor Bedard, but it's not an art or anything. I think it's so hard to beat any team in this league, unfortunately.
Yeah, Arizona specifically has been fascinating with some of their upset specials that they've had this year and a couple last year as well. Here with Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy on Twitter as well, talking all things National Hockey League. The Bruins are back on that record-setting pace, potentially, to have the most wins in NHL history and tie for the most points. That points record has stood since the 70s with the Montreal Canadiens. They have had an extremely impressive year. Do you think, though, that come postseason they can maintain the heat that they have brought in the regular season?
I do. Having said that, a team that's won the President's Trophy hasn't won the Stanley Cup in, I think, almost 10 years. I think 2014 and the Hawks was the last time. So, again, this year is different. Every year is different. Boston's an absolute oiled wagon. I'll preface by saying I was not a believer, in the Bees going into the season. So many injuries. McAvoy, Marchand, Carlo, like, the list went on and on and on. Nobody in their wildest dreams could have predicted this type of season from the Boston Bruins. So I do think they're legitimate. They address maybe the needs they had at the deadline, picking up Orlov, picking up Hathaway, picking up Tyler Bertuzzi, just adding to the depth they already had. It really feels like the final swan song, the last dance, if you will, for Patrice Bergeron. So I am a believer in the Boston Bruins. I do like Colorado. Obviously, I like the Edmonton Oilers. In the Eastern Conference, too, you can't sleep on the Rangers. The Hurricanes, even without Svechnikov, I think is great value right now. The Devils and Tampa and Toronto. That's the unfortunate thing about this conference, long-windedly here, is there's so many really good teams in the Eastern Conference this season.
It's funny that you mentioned the Bruins and their injuries early in the season. It was totally a game plan of mine coming into this year to fade Boston early. And then they went like 10-1 to start the season. It's like, okay, I guess that mentality is not going to work out so well for me here. How wide open do you think the Western Conference is at this point?
It's really interesting. Like, if you asked me this a couple weeks ago, I'd say, like, there's Colorado, Edmonton, and everybody else. But the crazy thing that's happened since the trade deadline in early March is, like, the teams that picked up significant pieces have started to win. And I know a lot of the wheeling and dealing, a lot of the marquee names happen in the Eastern Conference. But you look specifically at the LA Kings, they pick up a goaltender in Jonas Korpisalo. He's been really, really strong alongside the tandem there with Phoenix Copley. Even to that note, like, the Vegas Golden Knights, a subtle pickup of Jonathan Quick, who's got revenge on his mind and has actually been pretty solid. Even without Mark Stone, that team is winning games. Dallas has been good. You know, the Oilers have been good. You know, the only two teams that have been maybe, you know, flustered a bit and inconsistent specifically You know, Winnipeg for sure. And Seattle's treading right along. Like, I think they're going to get in. So you look at the top six teams in the Western Conference right now, I think you can make a legitimate case for all those teams. I think a sleeper team is a team like Minnesota, mm-hmm. if they can get Kirill Kaprizov back in the mix there.
Can the Golden Knights hold on to the Pacific?
I think it's going to be tough. I really, really do. The way Edmonton's playing right now, the motivation in the mind of Connor McDavid and the injuries, I just don't know if they're going to hold on, because I know Vegas and Edmonton play each other a couple times down the stretch here.
Awesome stuff, Nick. Really, really appreciate your time.
Take care. Thank you.
You're the best. That's Nick Alberga. Make sure you check out Leafs Morning Take on the Nation Network, as well as the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, available wherever you download your podcast. And so when it comes to the Bruins, JVT, totally, the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, on a game-to-game basis, we can fade them. We'll get a good futures price on them. So I had the Bruins to win the cup. And then I also, and I'm sweating out a Bruins and Celtics parlay future. Okay. For them both to win. Me and producer Steph are both in on that one.
Shocking.
But, yeah, I know.
Boston.
But, like, I totally came into the, I was like, this is going to be genius. I can just fade the Bruins on a game-to-game basis and then have this good number on them to win the cup. And then they just kept freaking winning games. Insane. All right, we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, getting set for hour two of the Lombardi Line.
Wow.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.